All right, good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Doing good.
What a beautiful Sunday morning, don't you agree?
Yes.
And there's no better place to be than here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you agree? I'm so glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. And hopefully you received a welcome packet when you came in. And when inside that welcome packet is just a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you also received the bulletin, and I hope everybody else did so as well. So let's open our bulletins and let's kind of take a look at not all of the activities going on this week, because there isn't a whole lot because it's summer. So, but on Wednesday, we are having Joy Lunch. Now, Joy Lunch is open to anybody who has the opportunity to be able to come and join us. So on Wednesday at noon, we're going to be at Eddie's Diner. That's up on Overland, just past Cole. So just east of Cole. So they have really, really good food. In fact, spoiler alert, they have really, really good omelets. I'm looking forward to having an omelet at Eddie's Diner. So if you have the time available to come and join us for lunch, we would love to have you be able to come and do that. It's just a great time of food. It's a great time of fellowship. So we want you to come and be able to do that. So also, as many of you know, the Richies are leaving tomorrow. Where are they? Oh, there's both of them are here. Okay, all right. Tomorrow, right? Okay, all right, for their trip to Uganda. And so what a praise. We, as a church, gave $5,511, which was exactly the amount needed for 300 Bibles for them to be able to take to distribute in Uganda. What, isn't God good?
Yeah.
God used us to be able to do that. And so what a praise that is. But they have some prayer calendars out on the information table. So if you want to take one of these or a couple of these and spend the time that they're gone praying for them as they are going to be ministering, they're going to be doing some different things this time in Uganda than what they've done in the past. And so I just think that it would be great for every one of us to be able to have one of these and to be able to keep it where we pray and be able to pray for them while they're ministering in Uganda. So with that in mind, let's have them come up and for just a moment, and let's just send them off with a prayer of blessing. What do you think? Father, we are just so grateful for the fact that this family from Lake Hazel Bible Church is going to be going to Uganda to be able to minister for you. And Father, they're hoping for many, many ministry opportunities. Father, they already have things in place, and Father, we just pray that every one of those opportunities that they will be blessed, the people that they're ministering to will be blessed. And Father, we pray that your word, as these Bibles are distributed and as your word is being taught and as your word is being spoken and as your word is being lived out by them in front of the people in Uganda, Father, I just pray that your word will go forth with power. Father, I pray that you will keep them well. I pray that you will keep them safe as they travel while they're there in Uganda and then bring them home safely to us. And Father, help us as their church family because they're going a little bit as a representative of Lake Hazel Bible Church. So Father, as they're going, may they know that we are back here praying for them, that we are back here holding them up in all of the things that they're hoping to be able to do. Father, we're anxious to hear them come back and to be able to share their report of what you did, if you should continue to tarry. So, Father, we just pray that you give them strength. We pray that you give them peace. But, Father, most of all, I pray that you give them your power, and may they always know your presence is with them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's continue to pray for them. Let's give them a round of applause before they go. So today is a special day. It is Father's Day. So I'm going to ask all of the fathers that are present this morning to stand. If you are a father, would you please stand? Wow, how blessed are we, right? Okay, let's give them a round of applause. And if there's any men that are here that are 18 years and older but aren't a father, why don't you stand as well, because this is a day we honor men, not just fathers. All right, let's give them a round of applause as well. And let's pray for these men and let's pray for these fathers. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you've given to some of us to be able to be called father, or to be able to be called dad, or to be able to be called papa, or whatever it is. Father, what a blessing that is to us. What sweet words those are for us as men. And Father, I'm so thankful for the men that are here this morning, whether they're fathers or not. You've brought them here for a purpose. You've brought them here to be able to open their hearts and to open their voices and to be able to sing praises to you, to be able to join together with this church family, to be able to worship you. And Father, worship for us isn't just singing. Worship for us isn't just singing some songs that show up on the screen that the worship team leads us in. Father, worship is praying. Worship is giving when the offering comes around and the opportunity for us to be able to worship through giving back to you a portion of what you have entrusted us with. Worship is also hearing your word as it's opened up unto us. So, Father, we just want to turn our whole worship service over to you. And, Father, again, thank you for blessing us, the men that you have this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Aren't you glad you came today?
Yes.
Thank you, men. Have a seat. Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
Let's get after it. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand back up with me for this first song?
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends each burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall
seated as we continue. God is so good. Jesus is amazing. Think about those words that we just sang. The creator of everything, died for me, died for you. So that's why we praise him. He's given us a future, a hope, something to believe in. This next song is called This I Believe. So as we sing these songs today, I know it's Father's Day, and normally we sing all about, you know, songs about God as our Father, and that's great. You know those songs. We sing those songs. But today, pray. Pray these songs. Pray. God, thank you. Thank you for being the best Father. Thank you for loving me.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three. And our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high, I believe in God. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son.
Words of life.
of hope and give us strength. Help us go in this world.
Jesus, for what you've done for us, the living word. Thank you for providing us with the written word. Thank you, Lord, for this body of Christ where we can come and be encouraged one to another in the body of Christ. Lord, you have done so much for us. Lord, we want to give back to you with worship, with our lives, with her intentions, with her actions, with her words. Lord, you are worth living for. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we pass the plate around, you know the spiel. Only give because you want to worship. Don't give because you think we're asking for money.
Who
can melt the hardest heart and speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me, love me to the core? Who controls the world I see, walks me through it all? No one but you. No one but you. Who has made the righteous bright? Who has paved my way with grace? Loved me through my darkest hours, a thousand different ways. No
it that captures your heart? Who is it that captures your heart? No one but him. We just sang that. Do we live it? Well, thank you, worship team. Thank you for singing Ancient Words. I love that song. So turn in your Bibles to those ancient words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14. And so today is Father's Day. And so here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, as I've already said, it's not a day that we just honor fathers, but it's a day that we honor men. Mother's Day, we honor not just mothers, but we honor women as well. And so we're going to look at some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that maybe you've read for a long period of time. I've read them over and over again. And then I was doing some reading a while back in 1 Corinthians again, and I came to verses 13 and 14, and all of a sudden, there's this phrase that just jumped out at me. And I said, whoa, we're going to do that for Father's Day. I'm going to develop that. That's pretty good. And so we're going to look at that. And we'll get to those verses in just a moment. We'll get to those ancient words. But I want to do something a little fun right now. So a group of women got together and came up with 34 qualities they think define the term man up. By the way, if you haven't already figured it out, that's the title of the message, Man Up. And so I'm going to pick 10 of those 34. And men, when I read what applies to you, raise your hand. Each time that you fulfill one, raise your hand. Here's number one. And these are not in any particular order. You can grow a beard. Now, I have a lot of respect for men who can grow facial hair and who enjoy having facial hair. When I was younger, I did have a mustache. Many of you are going, no. Yeah, I did. And my father hated it, just despised it. And the more that he would give me grief about it, the longer it stayed. Because I really didn't like it. But because he was giving me so much grief, I just kept it around as long as I could. And then one day I came home from school and I put some stuff on the kitchen table and I went out to the kitchen to open the refrigerator door. And the next thing I know, I'm laying flat on my back. And my dad is on top of me. Now, my dad was a strong man. And he's laying on top of me and he's holding me down with his forearm. And the next thing I know, I hear this click. And I hear this sound of an electric razor. The next thing I know, he's rubbing it across my lip. And he's rubbing it, and he's rubbing it, and he's rubbing it. And to this very day, whenever I start thinking about growing a mustache, my lip hurts. So I have great respect for those of you who can do that and not have the strange memories that I have of when I was younger. All right, here's the second one. You have skills at the grill. Yes. Okay. I know some of you have that. Here's the third one. You own quality tools. You know, I used to own quality tools too, even though I didn't know how to use any of them, but I had them. Here's number four. You know about weapons. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Here's number five. You work on cars. All right. Okay. Here's another one. You have no fear of dirt or sweat. Okay, all right, good. Here's number seven, you can drive a stick shift. Some of the ladies are raising their hands. Here's number eight, you give a solid handshake. Oh, no ladies raised their hand this time. Okay. Here's number nine, you have a man cave filled with man things. I used to, okay. Here's number 10, and this is the last one. You believe bacon is its own food group. Yes. All right. I like that one. All right. Well, if you don't take anything else away with you this morning, take this away. God's word, believe this or not, men, God's word tells us that it's acceptable to man up. Hopefully by now you found 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in your Bibles. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Watch this. Act like men. Whoa! What is that saying? I believe it's saying man up. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, what does it mean to man up? How can a man live the way that God instructs him to live? Well, guess what? In these verses, in verses 13 and 14, God's word tells us, men, what it means to man up. So we're going to spend the next few moments going through each one of these. Here's the first one. Wake up. Wake up. That's what he says. He says, be watchful. Now, this word watchful means to be alert, to be vigilant, to watch. And it was used to keep military guards from going to sleep while on duty. So men, listen. This means that we are to look out for danger. And we're to be on the lookout for attacks of the enemy. And this is the opposite of being spiritually sleepy, passive, careless, and easily deceived. We need to watch out for the dangers from the world around you. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to stay alert to what's going on. We need to watch out for the dangers that come from the culture. How many of you realize that our culture today isn't what our culture was years ago? Yeah. And guess who's given the responsibility of watching these changes and making sure that we don't stray away from the ancient truths that are given to us in the ancient words given to us in God's word? Men, that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's what God has told us to do. To what? Wake up. To be on watch, to be on guard, to be alert. We're to watch out for the dangers that come from the culture. The culture wants to change you. The culture wants to change me. What did we sing in that song, Ancient Words? Ancient Words changes you, changes me. That's the only change that God expects us to be able to making in our lives, is the change that he tells us needs to be a part of every single one of our lives. Whether we're men or whether we're ladies, doesn't make any difference. So we need to watch out for those dangers, like a night security guard. Stay awake to those ideas and philosophies that might want to break in and steal the minds of those whom you love away from that which you value. Where do your values come from? They come from the Word of God. They don't come from the culture. They don't come from academia. They come from the Word of God. Steve Green, who sang with Bill and Gloria Gaither years ago, did you know that? He was one of the original members of the Gaither Vocal Band many, many years ago. Talks about getting to know some of the work crews in the large auditoriums where their concerts were held. Now, the Gaithers prefer concerts in the round, which means extra work for the riggers who walk the 4-inch rafter beams, often 100 feet above the concrete floor, to hang sound speakers and spotlights. And for such work, they are very well paid. Steve Green says, the fellows I talked to were not bothered by the sight of looking down 100 feet. What they didn't like, they said, were jobs in buildings that had false ceilings. Acoustical tiles placed just a couple of feet below the rafters. These tiles were still high in the air, and if the worker slipped, their weight would smash right through the flimsy tile, and often their minds, as they were working above those tiles, would tempt them to be careless. Men, avoid the temptation to be careless. To be careless to where the culture is heading, because the culture is not heading towards God. It is heading away from God. Know what your children and your grandchildren are involved in. Keep an eye out for the destructive forces that ruin people's lives. That is your responsibility as a man, to protect your family. So be awake to the dangers of this world. Because for many of us, it will not be sin that derails our growth towards spiritual maturity. It will be the lack of spiritual watchfulness. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again, where men aren't become careless. They're not awake to what's going on around them spiritually. And not only do their families fall, not only do their loved ones fall away, but they themselves are led to fall away. Men, wake up! It's part of manning up. Here's the second one. Stand up. Now, the idea here is to stand up, be steady and constant in your convictions. Now, what it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. I'm glad it doesn't say stand firm in the culture. I'm glad it doesn't say stand firm in the government, stand firm in the media, stand firm in entertainment, stand firm in sports. No, it says stand firm where? In the faith. Stand up. Be steady and constant in your convictions. In other words, men, be devoted to God. Be steadfast in the truths of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What does Paul say? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Here's that phrase again. Stand firm, thus in the Lord, my beloved. Live your life dependent on God. Now, I know as men, we have a tendency to want to be what? Independent. Because we're supposed to be strong. History has taught us, the cultural history has taught us as men, we're not to show our devotion. We're not to show our emotion. We're not to show our feelings. That is a bunch of baloney. Because God has created us men to be able to be emotional. That's not just for ladies. That's just not for women. That's also for us. You know what? Can I tell you something? Some of you already know this. It doesn't take much to make me cry. It doesn't take much to make me teary-eyed. And I've done it in front of you. There have been times when I've been preaching and all of a sudden there comes a point out and all of a sudden it touches my heart and it touches me in such a way that it just brings tears to my eyes. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't go, oh, wow, there's all these men in the church family that are going to think I'm weak. I don't care what you think. Because God gave me that. I'm not afraid to be able to let those feelings know. I'm not afraid to be dependent upon God. The other night, Becky and I were watching the Channel 7 news at 10 o'clock. And at the beginning of the newscast, they said, tonight is our sports director's last broadcast with us. And I went, what? And if you don't know, his name was Jay Tust. And I remember when Jay Tust came to be a sports reporter, not the sports director, but the sports reporter at Channel 7. And one of the news anchors, her name was Carolyn Holly. And Carolyn Holly was his biggest supporter. And there were times when I didn't think he was going to last in those early broadcasts. He did better than the guy whose place he took, but I didn't think he was going to last. But he's been there for a long time. And now he's moving on to do some projects with Boise State in media. And it was his last night. So when it came time for the sportscast, he began to share some things from his heart. And I had tears running down my eyes. Because I invited him into my home 7 days a week. He's like family. And now he's moving. He's going somewhere else. And it's like, I can't handle this. And the things that he said just touched me so much that I sat there with tears running down my eyes. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. I don't even know him personally. But I was touched. Why was I touched? Because I've learned to be so dependent upon God that when he wants those feelings to come out, I allow him to be able to do that. Now, men, we need to let God accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish in our lives. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, what's the word? Nothing. From apart from him, we can do nothing. Men, ladies. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Remember what Jesus said to Mary, what the angel said to Mary when he came and gave her the news that she was going to give birth to the Savior? He said, for nothing will be impossible with God. Men, rely on God and keep growing towards spiritual maturity. Stand up in your world instead of letting your world tear you down. Do not bail or bolt. Don't fold or flee. Stand up, men of God. Stand firm on your spiritual convictions and don't ever compromise. Do not waver. Do not waffle. Do not wander. Stand up, O man of God. Here's the third thing. Power up. Power up. Be spiritually tough to stand against the forces of evil and unrighteousness. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that God would grant believers to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in their inner being. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul instructs, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So that you can stand against the schemes of the devil, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. As you wrestle against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Men, listen, we are in a spiritual battle. We need to man up. This is not the time to be passive and run from the battle. This is the time to move forward with God's strength provided through his Spirit. We are to power up. It says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. There are so many weak men today, not only in the world, but also in the church. Now, being strong in the church doesn't mean that you get to throw your weight around. Doesn't mean that your opinion counts more than anybody else's. Being strong in the church means being dependent and being who it is that God wants you to be able to be. We need to power up. We need to stay spiritually strong. We need to be a mighty man of God. And you know what? There are instances in God's word where we see strong men. Men who were mighty. Daniel was a teenager when he lived out his spiritual convictions with courage while living in Babylon. He was in a foreign place, a place that was dark spiritually. But yet, He was strong enough to live out his convictions. He lived this way, even into adulthood. Caleb, remember last week we talked about Caleb. Caleb said, hey, God, you know what? Bring it on. Give me this mountain. Give me this high place. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I'm going to need you to be able to help me. I know there's going to be struggles. Remember, Caleb was what? 85 years old. And he said to God, bring it on. Bring it on. You know what, men? We need to say that to God. Listen, with your strength, with your power, bring it on, God. You and I, we can do this. You and I, we got this, right? He said, give me this mountain. Even though he knew there were giants living in fortified cities in that area, Caleb declared, I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Me and God, Caleb said, we what? We got this. Caleb knew he couldn't do it in his own strength, but he knew with God's strength, he and God together could do it. King David had some mighty men. Abishai, their leader, killed 300 men with a spear. Benaniah, one of David's mighty men, went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Benaniah also served as the leader of David's bodyguards. These were strong men that God used in strong ways for his purpose and plan. What is it that God wants you, men, to be able to do for his purpose and plan? Now, I know some of you are going, yeah, well, Pastor, for me, that ship has sailed. You know, I'm old. I'm feeble. I don't have the strength and the stamina and the vitality that I used to be able to have. God's not going to buy any of that. And neither do I. Because whatever it is that you are, wherever it is that you find yourself in, whatever this stage of life is for you men, God's strength will help you. He's promised that. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul was not a young man when he came to that understanding. So age has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with what? Our attitude. So don't give in to the temptation to back away. Instead, with God's help, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Here's the last one. Love up. Now, this last mandate may seem a bit out of place when we talk about man up, but I believe it's the most important. Look at what it says. Verse 13, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Look at verse 14. Let all that you do, men, be done in love. Well, now, wait a minute. Pastor, I've read the Bible. I've read it over and over and over again. Doesn't it say more to the women about love than it does about men? Well, I'm not gonna get into that right now. But what does it say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14? Let all that you do be done in love. Who's he addressing? Men. Act like men. You know what, men? There's nothing wrong for us to be able to have God's love be the driving force in our lives. To be the love for others, to be the driving force in our lives. That love that comes from God. That love that God allows us and gives us the ability to be able to be. Let all that you do be done in what? Love. Now, men, this means in all the areas of your life. If you're single, it means in your singleness. If you're married, it means in your marriage. Your kids, your grandkids, your home. Your work, your leisure, your sports, your hobbies, your relationships, your community, and your church. Did they all get covered? I think so. All of those bases. This instruction, be done in love. This instruction, be done in love, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Greek is interesting. It's in the present durative tense. Now, there's probably only a couple of you here this morning that has any understanding of what that means. So let me tell you what it means. It means we are to keep on loving whatever we do, wherever we are. Men, we are to keep on loving whatever we do and wherever we are. And so let love, let compassion motivate all that you do. Display unwavering and unconditional love in all your attitudes and actions. Philip Brooks, a preacher of old, once said, duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully. I like that. I like that. Men, don't just do things well. Do things beautifully, which will show that you really care. Allow God's love and grace to flow through you. To man up is to be courageous and compassionate, to be tough and tender, to be strong and sensitive. Carl Sandburg, a famous American poet, wrote a biography of Abraham Lincoln. And in that biography, he wrote, "Not often in the story of mankind does a man arrive on earth who is both steel and velvet, who is as hard as rock and soft as drifting fog, who holds in his heart and mind the paradox of terrible storm and peace unspeakable and perfect." Lincoln possessed both a will of iron and a heart of tenderness. Nothing deterred the president during the American Civil War from his noble cause, And few persons have ever endured more criticism and detractors than Abraham Lincoln. Yet, with all that steel, he was also a man of velvet. When General Robert E. Lee surrendered his army, Lincoln sent an unexpected message to the enemy commander. This is what Lincoln said. "Tell your men they may keep their horses. They'll need them for plowing." Then he said this, "Tell your men to keep their rifles. They'll need them for hunting." When Lee read those words, he wept. Tough and tender, resolute and compassionate, velvet and steel. Men, God's word tells us we need to be that kind of a man. So be a man of steel and velvet. Man up. Father, thank you for showing us from your word that you have a message for us as men, and that message is for us to man up. And that means a lot of things to us. That means we're to wake up, we're to stand up, we're to power up, and we're to love up. We're to be men of steel, but also men of velvet. Father, help us to be those kinds of men. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? The final verse of this song says, "I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend."
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Let's sing the next verse. "I'm so glad